Good morning. How is everybody today? It is cooler in here than it is out there, I'll tell you that much. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to the launch service. We're really excited you've chosen to be here today. And we hope if you are a visitor, if you're new, you find that this is somewhat home, full of imperfect people that come together to worship God and try to emulate Christ in all we do. So before we worship, please stand and greet one another, shake someone's hand that you haven't before, and let's worship together. All right, now we're going to have some fun this morning worshiping God. It's the best way to do it. It goes like this.
Black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. The sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train.
Look to the heaven.
You can look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back in your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burning your ticket for that long black train.
Come on,
cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. If the ride is worth the pain, He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train.
But you know there's
victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. So good, but I must stay away.
That train is a beauty, making everybody stare.
But its only destination is the middle of nowhere.
But you know there's
victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord.
Oh,
cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train.
Oh, cling to the Father and His holy name.
Don't go riding on that long black train.
holy name. Come forward for a special little children's moment. And as they come forward, I want you to look at the front rows. Wow, they're empty. This is like the first day of school in like a college class. We don't buy it, I promise.
Good morning. Y'all. Are you good? Good. So our scripture today is, but as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Okay, does anybody know? This looks kind of weird, but do you know what this is? Do you know what these are? Sometimes they come in little packages. We're on the screen, aren't we? They come in little packages, seeds. I don't know what kind of seeds these are. It looks like dirt to me, but. So did you ever plant anything? Anybody plant anything at all? So can you take seeds like this and just throw them on like the driveway?
No.
Why? They'll get cut. Well, what do we need to sprinkle these in? Holes in where? In dirt. In the dirt. Okay, so some of you might have. In the bag? Okay. So you know that you need to plant them in good soil. So it's very important for the plants to grow. See if the right, and what else has to come out? Like the sun and rain to make them grow? Right. So if you plant your seeds where the ground is full of like rocks, are they going to grow? No. So you need really good soil. So in our Bible lesson today, Jesus told a story about a man who went out and planted some seeds. This story that Jesus told us is usually called the parable of the sower. But actually, the story is more about the soil than it is the sower or the seed. Some of the seed that was planted fell on the path, like the sidewalk, where the ground was very hard. And the seeds just lay on top of the ground, and the birds came along and took the seeds. And some of the seeds fell on rocky ground. The seeds sprang up quickly, but when the sun came out, the plants dried up because they didn't have good roots. Some of the seeds fell among weeds, and plants grew for a little while, but the weeds took over and choked them out. Fortunately, some of the seed fell on good soil, and the plants grew strong and healthy and produced a good crop. In Jesus' story, the Word of God is the seed, and we are the soil. Often when we come to church, the preacher is preaching the Word, but we aren't really paying attention. Perhaps we're thinking about what... Perhaps we're thinking about what we're going to do that afternoon or about what we did yesterday. We are hearing the Word, but we're not listening. That's like throwing seed on the top of the ground. It won't ever grow into anything in our life. There are other times when we hear the Word and we get excited about it, but then our excitement fades and we drift away. That's like the seeds that fall on the rocky ground. The plants spring up, but then die because the roots are too shallow. Sometimes we hear the Word and we believe what it says, but we want to keep on doing the same things we've been doing. That's like planting the seeds in with a bunch of weeds. I can tell you what will happen. The weeds will soon take over. When we hear the Word and we listen and try to understand what it says and put it into practice in our daily life, then we are like good soil. We are like soil where the seed takes root and grows and produces a plentiful harvest. That's the kind of soil that God wants us to be. Do you want to be good soil?
No.
Dear, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to be like the good soil. Help us to listen to God's word and put it into practice in our daily life. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go back. Miss Sherry's waiting for you.
As we stand and continue to worship today, we're going to sing these words, and I know many of you know the song. We've done it before, but really pay attention to what we're saying and what we're asking God to do for us, and let's continue to worship today. know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Please pray with me this morning. Dear God, as Pastor Dee Dee comes forward and delivers her message today, speak through her. Continue to speak through our songs and the lyrics and the notes and our worship. God, be in this place today. You are welcome here. Help our minds and our hearts be open to your message and help us spread your love when we leave this place. We pray this all in your holy name.
Well, good morning. I spent a few days away this week, so I'm glad to be back home. I was at the University of the Ozarks teaching in the United Methodist Women's Mission School, and I highly recommend that for men and women and children and youth. It's a four-day program and of enrichment and learning and fellowship and worship, and it was a great opportunity, but I am so glad to be back here and back at my normal routine. Our scripture reading today, you heard it already, but I'll read it again just from a different version, is from Mark's Gospel, the parable of the sower. And it is familiar to you, so I just invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. And try to hear it afresh and in a new way today as I read. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, he said. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have a deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100 times as much as had been planted. Then Jesus said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I love the idea of a garden. I can picture in my mind's eye just beautiful flowers growing up in all colors and shapes and sizes. And I can almost taste a fresh sliced sun-ripened tomato on top of a pile of bacon, on top of sourdough bread. But the trouble with garden is gardening. The dirt, the weeding, and worst of all, the sweat. I don't like to sweat. Gardening just isn't my thing. But the produce, bring it on. So it seems a little odd then that this parable of the farmer would capture my attention and will not let me go. Even though most of us have read it hundreds of, maybe even thousands of times through our life, I thought it might be a good time to just take another look at it on this hot July Sunday in the middle of the harvest season. I thought maybe we could play a little bit in the field of the Lord, so to speak, and dig around in the story and see if we can come up with any new insights for our lives as disciples. So first, let's take a look at this sower, this extravagant, undisciplined farmer who scatters the seed willy-nilly without a clear plan in mind. The sower seems to cast caution to the wind along with his precious seed. If some becomes food for the birds, the sower seems unconcerned. When some of it sprouts and are burned up by the sun, the sower doesn't worry. When the weeds are overcome the new plants, the sower makes no effort to go and control those weeds. Instead, the sower just sows and then waits for the harvest. And the harvest is more than any farmer could ever wish for. 100 times, 60 times, 30 times more than was ever planted. What is God trying to tell us about sowing seed? Could it be that God is trying to encourage us to sow in the same way this farmer that we call careless sows? Perhaps we could be careless farmers when we know that the good news can never be used up. When we live by the principle of that little Bible song, love is like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. But once you give it away, you get more in return. Could it be that God is inviting us to indiscriminately share the story of our relationship with Jesus Christ with whomever we meet? After all, it's not up to us to decide what lives, what people might bear fruit. No, our job is simply to cast seed, to witness to our faith, to invite, to welcome, and to share. And to trust in the Lord of the harvest to bring the fruit. Well, we might want to talk a moment then about that harvest. Because when a harvest happens, it is nothing less than a miracle. The parable tells us that the seed that falls in good soil grows and grows and grows until it yields what most first-century Palestinian farmers would have thought was astronomical and impossible. 100 times what was sown, 60 times what was sown, 30 times what was sown. These were farmers who sowed in rocky soil, who had to cast their seed along paths, who tried to eke out a living from a very small plot of land that had little water. And so for them, a yield of 10 times or even 15 times would have seemed like a bumper crop. I can imagine them sitting there listening to Jesus and wondering, how could this happen? 100, 60, 30. Well, maybe we're with them. How is it that God can bring a harvest out of lives like ours and the lives of people that we know around us. You see, we all know that there is so much about our life that is worn, hard, and unyielding. We know about rocky, dry hearts where nothing seems to flourish. We are all too familiar with the temptations and distractions of busyness that fill our lives and wake us up in the middle of the night wondering, is there any meaning in all this stuff? So it's a miracle. It is a miracle when the good news gets heard and believed and bears fruit in us in the first place. And we can all attest, I hear it over and over again from the folks here at Asbury about the abundant life that God has brought to them through the church, through the relationships that have been formed here, through the gospel that they have heard. We live a different way because of love and hope that has been planted within us. God is at work creating fruit and harvesting something from our lives. And when we are ready, it is always far more abundant than we could ever have hoped for or imagined. Which brings us, I think, to the point of the parable. Surely by now we all know that this seed is a metaphor, a way of speaking about how growth and transformation can happen without our instigation and sometimes even without our knowledge. Friends, I find that encouraging and comforting even, especially on days when the row seems too long for me to hoe. You see, Mark recorded this story at a time when the fledgling church was being persecuted and was downtrodden. So every time Mark talks about the seed, he does so in the plural. There are many seeds, Mark says, all being falling to the ground, all created to bear fruit. And though we may not see it yet, the sacrifice we make puts us on the road to new life. As a congregation, you know the suffering that Asbury has endured. You can name the disappointments. You speak of times of feeling ignored or rejected. And you know what it's like to be left behind. You and I here at Asbury are the very kind of people that Mark wanted to hear this parable of seed and sower, of soil and harvest. He wants us to know that our life that is hidden in God is already being transformed. This seed, this community of faith is growing. The harvest is up to God, and the harvest is sure, and we can look at one another even before we see the signs, before we can count the empty chairs or see before us more children, or watch the coffers rise. We can look at one another, and because we are people of faith, we can say, the best is yet to be. our best years are not behind us. They're in front of us. How do I know that? Because I know the God of the harvest, and so do you. Yeah, I love this not so simple little story that invites us to see ourselves in so many different roles. As disciples, we can sow seed as indiscriminately as Jesus did, just speaking the truth in love, offering our stories, not worrying about whether this person is worthy or not. God will take care of that. We can see ourselves as soil where God is cultivating and planting and tilling and throwing the rocks to the side. We can see ourselves as the harvest that God is growing. So friends, let us sow extravagantly. Let each of us kind of commit to cultivating our lives and mentoring one another for growth. Let each of us pray for the harvest that is to come. And more than anything else, trust the God of the harvest, the God who made the seed and the soil, and will bring fruit. Is it any wonder that the church comes back year after year, month after month, week after week, to this little story and plays a bit in the field of the Lord to dig around, to be dug up, and to find a place to grow right here where we've been planted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for the opportunity you give us to worship you openly and freely. Thank you for the new and fresh ways in which you reveal yourself to us daily as you work through all of us for the greater purpose of your kingdom. God, this morning we pray for peace in our hearts and in our minds as we seek a break from the distractions that the world lays before us every day. God, our world can be burdensome. The load can be heavy. It tells us to live a certain way, act a certain way, to accept things that seem good, God, but in the end can only lead to destruction. God, we ask you to recenter our hearts, to increase us in spirit, so we may put aside the trappings of the world and find comfort in your love and your love alone. Give us the strength to lift each other up in love and grace, reflective of the love and grace we receive from you. For all you have done, are doing now, and all you will do for your kingdom. And lastly, God, we give thanks for the power of prayer, for that direct line given to us through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it was your Son, when on earth, who showed us and taught us the power of prayer. As the consummate teacher, he showed us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer, which we will now recite together by saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Before before our ushers come forward, I'm going to invite Rusta Pierce and Brian Hall to come forward for a stewardship moment. So give them a hand, I guess.
I am Rustin Pierce, and this is our second mission minute. That's what we're calling them. Last month, Clark and Richard helped me out at the launch service, and this month we are presenting the next step. Let me go over with you. The intention of having these minutes, mission minutes, is to remind people, remind us, that as Methodists, as United Methodists, we have taken a pledge or a promise to help help Asbury United Methodist Church. That pledge is fivefold. It is prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness. These are the five aspects of our promise to honor Asbury United Methodist Church. We have to ask ourselves, does it deserve that honor? Should we honor it thusly? Well, I would ask you to check your bulletin. The insert in the bulletin is our list of over 80 services and areas of presence that Asbury has started or is affiliated with. Over 80. By that number, it is obvious that Asbury has a very large footprint, not only in our church family, but in the community itself. Yes, it deserves our honor. So this week, this month, we're going to talk about presence, and that ends in a C-E, not a T-S. So we're going to talk about presence. We ask ourselves, how difficult is it to be, or what are we asking you to do to be present at a church service? It seems like it should be an easy thing to do. Many of you, perhaps, were like me. My parents dragged five children to church every Sunday. I had MYF, which is what they called the youth group back then, and that was a long time ago. Don't want to get into that. But I would even have youth choir and youth handbells. I went to church a lot. But now, as an adult, we get to choose to go to church. And making that choice has to have purpose, has to be reasoned. Why would you need to choose? Why would you want to choose to go to church? Go to any church service? Well, the answer is, I'm not going to tell you yet. I want to tell you a story first. And this is, my mother and father would do family visitation for the First Methodist Church Pine Bluff. And they would go out to shut-ins and prospective members and talk up the church. She, mother, was a good talker. She was not afraid to talk. And she would be able to carry on the conversation with this visitation. Dad was more contemplative and quiet until the end. And then he would ask, how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? And that was very powerful. And it should be powerful for us. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that you want to come to be present at church. It is to build your own relationship, to improve and build your own relationship with God. And you say, oh, building? That sounds like work. And yes, it is. it is work. But you can rely on prayers and presence as being the building blocks to help you with that, building that relationship. So one more thing I want to speak to. In being at church is important for your building your relationship. But more importantly, being seen at church is a very powerful motivation for people who may be seeking a relationship and don't have one yet. But seeing believers in church is a very important reason to be present. Building your relationship, helping others build theirs. And so I would like to, for this, him to give his idea of what presence means.
Well, Rustin did a wonderful job, so I'll try to stick to the minute, because he said a lot of great things already, and I'll just add one additional thought to that. As I was thinking about presence after Rustin called me this week and asked me to do this, I thought about this room, this gathering that we have, and I don't need to tell anybody in here to be committed to coming to church, because that's what we have in this room. But I asked myself why, and as I thought about the word presence, I thought about the presence of God that is here with us. And the verse that we all know from Matthew 18:20 says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. And I thought about that's what we do each week. That's why home church is great for some people, but doesn't quite check that box. When we gather here as a group, we enter into God's presence in our music, in our worship, in our prayer, in the sharing of word. We do so in the presence of God. And so I think Caleb put me up to this.
Rustin called me earlier this week. He goes, who comes to church every Sunday? I go, Brian Hall, 100%. Give him a call.
But I'll say Lauren and I, you know, we try not to just show up, but we try to acknowledge here through our worship that we are in God's presence by doing so. So I'll just leave you with that as we get back to a song that I know Lauren requested, and Caleb is going to do for us. So,
amen. I want to thank you, Rustin and Brian, for sharing that. That was impactful. You know, having only been here for a few weeks, when I got this out this morning, I was really taken back by just how long this list is. It's amazing in such a powerful and mighty way how God is working through us here at Asbury. And so as we prepare to take up our tithes and offerings this morning, let's remember the ways that God continues to call. So we'll pray over that now as you gentlemen come forward. Almighty God, God of all creation, for all that you pour out on us, that you have poured out on us and continue to pour out on us, God, we can't begin to show our gratitude. We can't begin to show our thanks in a way that is in any way equal. So God, what we do and what you charge us to do is the best that we are able with the resources we have. God, sometimes we fall short, sometimes we meet that call. And we ask that in this time, as we have heard these moving stories of mission this morning, that you lead us to be the solid seeds in the good soil, and that we give until we can give no more. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
A couple of notes before we sing this song. If you wondered why I said Brian Hall, he was awesome, right? I mean, he was, I think, when we had Senior Sunday, I think like three of the seniors were like, yo, Brian Hall is my biggest influence at Asbury, so he's the best. So Lauren did request this song, I think. When I'm in public and I see someone I think I know, I never say their name because I'm like, what if it's not their name? Even though I know it. So I'm having this moment now where I'm like, she said The Table by Chris Tomlin. What if this isn't a song? I guess you won't know. But anyway, this is our offering today.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. And
at his table. Oh, I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. No, I won't hunger anymore at his table.
Amen. Well, it's been wonderful being with all of you today. We have one last song, and that is the song of invitation. The Holy Spirit has spoken with you today and laid something on your heart. Today might be that day to act. And if that is the case and you wish to do something big, proclaim Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, join a wonderful community here at Asbury. You are welcome to do so. Just join me up front. Maybe you just want to pray to a loving God. We have kneelers down here, and I'll be up here up front if you want to pray with me as well. Or maybe you just want to stand and sing to a holy and perfect God. With this last song of invitation, you are free to do that. Let's stand as we're singing this final song.
When I told you to sit, I knew he was going to tell you to stand. I felt bad. Your legs are a little sore.
We are queuing this thing up well.
This is called Revelation Song. Holy, holy is he.
Do I have this thing on? Okay, I do now. I know you guys are ready to get out of here, but I just want to remind you one more time. I'm sure Dee Dee talked about it. The cottage meetings, we've had two so far. We had one last Sunday night. We had one today during the Sunday school hour, and it has impacted me so much to hear how much Asbury means to so many folks and to hear their stories and to hear about just what Brian talked about, this community where when we come together, two or three of us in a group, God is there and he is present and thriving. And so please, as you're making your way out, if you haven't already, there's sign-up sheets on the back table. You can do it on your phone. But we just want to see everybody there. We'd love to hear about why Asbury means so much to you. So as you leave this place, serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the spirit that lives within you, and may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace.
Have a great week.